Welcome to the chat with Linda Sims, live here on WWGH 107.1 FM radio, streaming live on the web, www.wwgh1071fm. You have the opportunity to download free app called TuneIn and search WWGH on any electronic device. Please call in if you would like to connect with my guest or myself, or if you would just like to share your questions, your thoughts, or ideas. Please call 740-383-9944. And thank you again for listening. I am going to share with you those who faithfully support the chat, starting with VITM, Victory and Truth Ministries, Bishop J.C. Church, 485 State Route 4, South Bucyrus, Ohio. Telephone number there is 419-563-9565. Chappie's Hydraulics Hose Specialist, LLC, 309 Suite A, North Main Street. Phone number there is 740-382-8552, and that is in Marion, Ohio. Logos Christian Ministries, location 582 Lee Street, Pastor Jackie Peterson, here in Marion, Ohio. Telephone number there is 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. And they have an ongoing announcement. That announcement is free produce market every second Saturday of every month from 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. Logos Christian Ministries, again, that location is 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. No appointment or pre-registration required. You must simply provide your name and number of people in your family. Please note your calendars. Also, we have Inspect Ohio, your one-call home inspection company for your real estate needs with 25 years of experience working for you. And that is in LaRue, Ohio. The telephone number there is 1-800-347-5322. I have a thought for you today. Without dreams, there is nothing to love. And without love, there is nothing worth dreaming about. All right, I do have a reading for Black History Month. We're celebrating, and we are also celebrating here in Marion, Ohio. The Black Heritage Council, and they are celebrating 40 years. But here's a writing from Corey Johnson, age 8, statewide MLK Oratorical Contest, April 2017, Primary Division, runner up. Communion of Saints School, second grade, Cleveland, Ohio. Her career aspiration is to be a scientist. And she states, Dr. King stuck with love even when his house was bombed by hateful people. He stuck with love even when he was put in jail. He loved even when he was kicked and called names. Dr. King said love was not the color of our skin, but what's in our heart. The world still needs love, and people who want to change the world need to love each other. And that is so profound for today, how sometimes we carry ourselves and just disregard other people. Also, I need to share with you 2018 Relationship Empowerment, February 24th, Light Breakfast 8 to 9, Conference 9 to 11:30 a.m., $10 donation. Please sign up in the narthex at Victory and Truth Ministries, Bucyrus, Ohio, and that is this Saturday. Okay. Black Heritage Banquet will be March the 3rd, 2018, at all occasions in Waldo, Ohio. Social hour starts at 5 o'clock, and they serve at 6. So if you can, you know, make it there, please do. They will have a meet and greet at Ohio State University on March the 2nd from 5:30 to 6:30. All right. Thank you for listening to those announcements. And I will move on with my guest for today, Tim Combs. How are you today, Tim?
Great. Good to be here.
Thank you so much for accepting my invitation. Now, Tim Combs, if many of you do not know him, he is what we consider our political historian and a former history teacher in the Marion City school system. And Tim comes quite often because we need to be updated on the political system and things that are
changes going on, right?
So how you been, Tim?
Well, very good, very good. And looking forward to today's program.
Well, great, 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 great. I know you got some great things to share with us. Yeah. You want to start with the local first?
Okay, well, we go with local and then we can move on up the ladder. We have a primary election coming up on Tuesday, May 8th. Both,
okay.
And unlike last year, both political parties will be having primary elections. This is an even-numbered year, and the political parties are required to hold their primaries in the even-numbered year. It'll be Tuesday, May 8th. Also, any third parties that any of it filed candidates also hold primaries. I don't think anything here locally, but I know statewide, I think the Green Party, maybe the Libertarians filed some people and around the state, so they'll presumably be having maybe their primaries. But right now, we'll be concentrating on the Democratic and Republican Party primaries locally. This also is the year that the party central committees are elected. This is the central committees of both the Democratic and Republican parties,
right,
and also their state central committees. At one time, these used to be two-year terms, and both local political parties, and I know the Democratic Central Committee, State Committee, has also gone to a four-year term. I'm not sure about the Republican State Committee, whether they're still at a two-year term or not. But anyhow, there'll be those people will be elected this year. But the races for office, public offices, we will be electing a new 86th district state representative this year. The current representative, Dorothy Palanda, is term limited. In other words, she cannot run for another term. And there is a Democratic candidate, Glenn Goble, filed, who retired from one of the local credit unions. He's the Democratic candidate. There are two candidates seeking the Republican nomination for state representative in the 86th district. And this is, if I find my list here, those two candidates are Tracy Richardson and Robert Sammons, are seeking the Republican nomination for state representative in the 86th district. And of course, people in the respective parties vote for their nominees, then they move on to the November general election. The deadline for filing for the party candidates was Wednesday, February 7th at 4 o'clock. Now, there is one more filing deadline to go, and that is Monday, May 7th at 4 o'clock for candidates who want to run as independent candidates. They have until that time to file paperwork. And actually, I think there's a deadline next week for people who want to run as write-in candidates. I'm doubting that we'll have any of those people locally. There may be some maybe in state or district, but I don't think anything locally. There is a possibility we may have at least one independent candidate filing. We'll just kind of wait and see how that works out. Maybe in May, when we come back after the primary, we can talk about those people if they're on it. And then, assuming that their petitions are fine, then they will go directly to the general election then. Also this year, we elect a county auditor in Marion County and most, well, around the state. The current the current county auditor is Democrat Joanne Kasotis. And at this point, she has no opposition for re-election to a fourth term as county auditor.
Okay.
Nobody filed against her in the Democratic primary. No Republican filed. So the only thing that could now happen is, well, it's possible that a Republican might or somebody else might file as a write-in candidate. Now, that's going to happen. Possibility that somebody could file as an independent candidate, but again, they have that May 7th deadline. They can, so we'll see how that works. Right now, she has
still time left to do that.
Right now, she has an opposition for re-election for another term. For county commissioner, we do have a contest there. The incumbent Republican commissioner, Ken Stuyvesant, has filed for a third term as commissioner, and his Democratic opponent will be Tara Dyer, a retired teacher from the city schools. Very active in the African-American community.
Right.
And she is filed as a Democratic candidate. Again, there's a possibility that we could have any more as an independent candidate, but we'll have to wait and see how that works.
So there's still room for someone else to send a write-in for that.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you think Tara's
Terry, of course, is well-known in the community.
Yes.
She admitted that it's probably going to be an uphill battle.
Of course.
So, but we'll see what happens. And so we'll be advancing the general election.
And
by the way,
these are two Democratic parties, right? I mean, people, right, on the ticket?
Terry Dyer is a Democrat. Ken Stuyvesant is a Republican.
Okay. Oh, she's
He's the incumbent
against
Republican.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I might say this. The Marion County Board of Elections met last Thursday evening. I think it was the 15th, and they certified all petitions. They have to examine, and I mean, they'll just have to be checked for enough valid signatures and any other mechanical things. And all petitions were certified, with the exception of one gentleman, a Charles Knight, who I believe is the current Republican State Central Committeeman, had filed for another term. Mr. Knight, I believe, lives in Seneca County.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently what he did was he mailed his petition in, and I don't know whether he had an address to the Marion County Board of Elections or what, but anyhow, it goes. There's a central reception place at the county building that the mail room goes to the commissioner's office. His petition ended up going to that central reception area, arrived on Wednesday the 7th, which was the deadline, but it did not get down to the Board of Elections until Thursday the 8th. And there's a real question about whether or not, you know, it had been filed with them before the 4 o'clock deadline.
Mm-hmm.
The Board of Elections actually, by a 3-1 vote, rejected his petition because it had not been filed in their office.
Right.
The only thing that Mr. Knight could do if he wants to contest this would be to file, he'd have to file a suit in the Marion County Common Police Court because the board has now acted. And so we'll see what happens. I'm guessing he won't, but who knows? We'll still
wait and see.
But all of the petitions from both party candidates were certified by the board. Okay, and we have commissioner, we have the auditor. We have the state central committees of the two parties are elect state central committee man and woman from each state senate district. The Republicans will have a contest for state central committee men and committee woman. On the Democratic side, the current committee men. Randy Weston, who is from Marion County, filed for re-election. And then the other lady who had been the state central committee woman, actually, again, from Seneca County, did not file. So Randy's wife, Carolyn Weston, filed for that seat. So they're uncontested and presumably will be elected.
Right.
Let me just maybe give a little explanation here. And when you're in a multi-county district in Ohio, which is like about 8 or 9 counties in the 26th Senate district, the petition must be filed in the county or part of county that is the most populated part of the district.
Mm-hmm.
And as it turns out, Marion County is the most populated county in the 26th Senate district. So all the petitions have to be filed with the Marion County Board of Elections. We are in the 4th Congressional District. It's a big district. And the actual filing county is Lorain County up near Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
And so the people have to go to Lorain and file with that Board of Elections. And then what happens is the county that is the controlling county, as they call it, gets all the petitions. They separate those by county because each candidate has to only put one county's set of names on a particular set of petitions,
okay,
what they call part petition. And then they send those to the respective counties.
Right.
Those counties check the signature for their people in their county.
Mm-hmm.
And then they send a report back along with the petitions back to that home county. And when they determine that the candidate has enough valid signatures, then they will report back to all the other counties who has been certified in the runner in their office.
Okay.
And it depends on what office you're running for. Now, statewide candidates, governor, secretary of state, so forth, they all file with the secretary of state.
Mm-hmm.
That's a statewide office. And then they do the same thing. The petitions have to be, their part petitions have to be separated by county, and they send them back. In some cases, it's all 88 counties. Those boards check those petitions, and then they send the report back to the Secretary of State.
Right.
When the Secretary of State has those all accumulated, then they make sure there's enough. They have to have 1,000 valid signatures to be able to run statewide.
Okay.
And then as for the major party, I believe the third party candidates only need 500 signatures. But once they certify that they have enough, then they certify to all these counties in the state who are the statewide candidates. It's a not complicated process, but that's the way the state of Ohio does it.
It sounds complicated.
Other states may do it differently, but that's what Ohio does.
A lot of protocol, right? Got to go through a lot of protocol.
Yeah.
And well, you know, that keeps the system fair, I guess.
Yeah,
so. Right, somewhat.
We also have an unexpected position this year, and that is for county prosecutor. Normally, the county prosecutor would not be elected this year.
Oh,
they are elected
okay.
in the, what I would call the presidential election years.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, former county prosecutor Brent Yeager died suddenly back in October.
Right.
And so the way this works is, since he was a Republican, the Republican Central Committee can name someone to serve in that office until this year's election, which will be for the unexpired two-year term. Back in October, there was actually a contest among several Republican attorneys mm-hmm. for that appointment, and they named Ray Grogan, who actually had been a Republican candidate for city law director back okay. in 2015.
Okay.
He was not elected, and I understand he had apparently wrapped up his private law practice and taken a position as a law school instructor at the Ohio Northern University Law School in Ada. And he received the Republican Party election to serve as the county prosecutor. So he is now the county prosecutor until this November.
Okay.
And he is serving by appointment of the Republican Central Committee. But there has to be an election now for the remaining 2 years of the term, the unexpired term.
Okay.
There is a Democratic candidate, Jeff Ratliff, who was his father and his brother and him are in a local law firm. And he has filed as the Democratic candidate for county prosecutor. Mr. Grogan actually is going to face a challenge in the Republican primary. Jennifer Kroski, who was a former assistant prosecutor,
mm-hmm.
had worked for the state attorney general's office, filed against Mr. Grogan in the Republican primary. And so she will challenge him for the Republican nomination. And again, because you have until May 7th, there is a possibility that somebody else could file as an independent candidate.
That's
we'll just
true.
Have to wait. I haven't heard anybody, but we'll just have to wait and see how that happens. We also have two judgeships up this year. The two common pleas court judgeships are both being elected this year. Now, the original thing was that both of the common pleas court judges, Judge Jim Slagle and Judge Bill Finnegan, were both going to seek re-election. Late January, Judge Finnegan, who, as is Mr. Slagle, both Democrats, announced that he decided not to seek re-election.
Oh, really?
He's not. So he's going to finish out his current term, mm-hmm. the rest of this year. He's been a judge for 30 years. He's been first
that's
the municipal judge
time.
And then the common pleas judge.
Right.
So he decided to retire. And so for his position, City Law Director Mark Russell filed as a Democratic candidate for that position for judge. And local gentleman who was a magistrate in the municipal court, mm-hmm. Jason Warner, filed as a Republican candidate for that position. Again, their names will appear on their party ballots, but in the general election, judicial candidates' names appear without the party label on, although people generally are aware which political party they are a part of. So.
Right.
And again, the same thing goes, the possibility that a third party candidate or an independent candidate could file with that for that position. Judge Jim Slagle, who's the other judge, and by the way, the judges, the one term Judge Slagle was running for was called the January 1st term. Mr. Russell, Mr. Warner running for what is called the January 2nd term. So, in other words, they're running for a specific office. You vote for those people. Judge Slagle right now has no opposition for re-election, but there is widespread belief that he will probably get an independent opponent by the time of the May deadline. And again, we'll just have to wait and see how that works out at this point.
Not long.
Okay, and that is all of the local office holders. Now, as I say, we do have a race for Congress in the 4th District. Jim Jordan, who is a Republican congressman, I know has filed for re-election. The Democrat who ran against him the last time, maybe two times last time, Janet Garrett, I know she filed as a Democrat.
Okay.
And I think she has several opponents, though, in the Democratic primary. And Mr. Jordan, I think, may have some opponents in the Republican primary. But again, those names will be out in the next few weeks as they get certified by the respective, in this case, it'll be the Lorain County Board of Elections. We'll have to certify those petitions. As I said, the county central committees in all 88 counties are being up for election this time.
Mm-hmm.
Most, and usually not every precinct is covered, or whatever division they use now, whatever system they use. Generally, they are uncontested, but there are several contests in both parties,
right,
this time for some local precinct committeeman positions, and the Republicans or the Democrats, depending on what party they're in that precinct, will have to select between two individuals for committeemen. Most committeemen, though, in both parties are unopposed for election or re-election. So that is where we're at. Now, also, we are part of, I believe it's the 87th House District, which takes in some areas in northern Marion County.
Okay.
And those people file with the Crawford County Board of Elections in Bucyrus. And I have not yet, I have not seen who those people are.
Mm-hmm.
I know this. Apparently, the State Democratic Party did get candidates in all 99 House districts, which is an improvement from what they did a couple years ago. They only had like maybe 70 out of the, they got this time, candidates in all 99 districts.
Okay.
They have candidates in all 17 state Senate seats that are up this time and all 18 mm-hmm. congressional seats.
It's and national level, right?
That's, well, it's the state level. And, of state course, Congress members of the U.S. House are for,
okay,
for the U.S. House of Representatives. But, again, they filed in respective areas. I think there's also a seat up in the 3rd District Court of Appeals, which files in Allen County, Lima.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe only the one Republican judge that filed for re-election, I think, is the only one running again, unless an independent candidate should file. So, but those names will all come out as the next few weeks unfold, and as we maybe get closer to the May election, when we have the full ballot, then we can go ahead and review all that time. And again, we'll know, you know, we won't know until the day before the primary if there are any independent candidates.
Because it seems to be so much going on that people are not really focused on.
Yeah,
here comes the election, at least statewide,
mm-hmm.
for locally for.
And then, of course, we do have the statewide. Yeah, this election we elect a governor. Right. Governor Kasich is term limited.
He's finished this year.
He's out at the end
his
of this year.
Ends, right.
I don't have the names in front of me, but there are six Democrats running for the nomination for governor, and actually
they're
teams, because since 1978, for the last 40 years,
mm-hmm.
governor and lieutenant governor candidates have run as a ticket.
Oh, okay.
And they file one set of petitions with the Secretary of State. And so they have a running mate for that. And there's two candidates on the Republican side. As you know, Mayor Schertzer for a time was a running mate for Connie Pillage from Cincinnati,
mm-hmm.
On the Democratic side. She decided here last week to withdraw her candidacy threw her support behind Richard Cordray, who is probably considered to be the favorite for the Democratic nomination. He's a former consumer financial bureau person in D.C. under mm-hmm. President Obama. He was a former state attorney general, former state treasurer, a former state representative. And so he is running now, and his running mate is Betty Sutton from Akron. She's a former congresswoman. And she had actually been also a candidate for governor, pulled out and threw her support behind Mr. Cordray, and then became his running mate for lieutenant governor. So that's, you know, and then there are several other Democrats running for that nomination. Dennis Kucinich, who was a former congressman.
So what does that do with the mayor? Does he still run? Or
No. Once they ended, that ended his candidacy.
So that's over.
Yeah, he's done.
Because the running mate decided she wasn't
going to
run.
When the governor candidates, and I assume, I don't know how the formal process works, but they both had to sign a letter of withdrawal to the Secretary of State.
Oh, wow.
But once the governor candidate runs out, the lieutenant governor candidate that ends their candidacy, too. And then there's also the United States Senate seat up. Senator Sherrod Brown is running for his third term in the Senate. He has no opposition on the Democratic side.
Okay.
And there is a Civil War candidate running for the Republican nomination. We'll see what happens from there. And again, as I said, independent candidates have until May 7th to file for those offices. So now, the filing deadline back on February 7th was just not for Democrats, Republicans, but also for third parties.
Okay.
They're running the Green Party, the Libertarian Party, the Socialist Party, whatever. Yeah, you know, those third party, that was also their deadline.
Okay.
So the only ones that can now file are people who have to run as an independent or non-affiliated candidate. Also, one other issue that right now is presumably going to be on the ballot. We don't know. There's some controversy about this. One local issue, not a candidate, but a local issue, and that is for a Marion Township road levy. Now, there appears to be some controversy about this because, and I don't want to get too much into the weeds here, but of course, the city of Marion is part of Marion Township. It is a municipal corporation within Marion Township. All the residents of the city of Marion are part of Marion Township.
Okay.
But not all residents of Marion Township are part of the city of Marion. They're what we call the unincorporated part of the township.
Okay.
We'd have to live in the unincorporated part of it. The town Marion Township trustees back in mid-January have put an issue on the ballot for a 1.5 mil levy for road improvement or work. The thing is, they have wanted to put up what they call the unincorporated area, and they only want the voters in that in those unincorporated areas to vote on it. But there seems to be some question as to whether such a thing even exists, that there is no subdivision as known as an unincorporated area exists. Now, there is a Marion Township Fire District, which takes in just that part of the township outside the city. The township trustees could create a Marion Township Road District, which would be probably the same exact area, but they have not done that. And now there seems to be some controversy about exactly who can vote on this issue.
Right.
The trustees only want the people outside the city to vote on this. At least one member of the Board of Elections feels that the way that the resolution was adopted is that everybody in the township, whether you're a city resident or a part of outside the city, can vote on the issue. That's going to be clarified at this point. And we'll have to see how that plays out. The problem is that if this is not resolved the way somebody wants to resolve, there's a possibility there could be litigation over this.
Okay.
Sometimes it's called a taxpayer's lawsuit.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll just wait and see how that, if indeed it happens. It's a little complicated at this point, but we'll see what happens with that one.
Well, to me, government has always been a little complicated for me. I didn't do very good in that. And I think 12th grade we did government.
Yeah, government, you know, yeah.
All the branches and all that and how it works, you know. Yeah. And some people are really up on it, like you and some of our listeners may be. But thank God for those of us who are not. That's when we need your expertise. And thank you so much for that. Now, I know we're going to move on to the national level. Yeah. There's just so much going on. And I know that a lot of people may be confused, or if not confused, their minds going here and there and everywhere, because like every moment, you know, it's like dire. We're in dire straits. Something is happening. So what's going on, Tim, on our
level? Let's start with something that just within the last week has gotten national attention. That, of course, was this terrible shooting incident at the high school in Broward County, Florida, Southland High School. 14 students and 3 staff members were murdered by this young man who was apparently a suspended student, former student, had an AR-15, whatever it is, came back and
automatic weapon.
Apparently, he pulled the fire alarm. The school was up just near the end of the school day last Wednesday, and then he just began shooting, and people were wounded, and there's several others that were injured. And four still in the hospital, including a young man who barely held a door closed and kept other people from being wounded and took 3 or 4 bullets. And he is now in a hospital in that area. The fact the sheriff of the Broward County, Florida sheriff came and visited him and called the young man a hero. And already, I believe, a GoFundMe account has been started obviously the cost will just be enormous. For this young man, and I'm guessing that in one way or another his bill will be totally covered by something, whether it's donations or whatever in some fashion. Of course, you had the incident in Westerville here about 10 days ago, the two Westerville police officers who were shot and killed. First time ever in the history of West City Westerville that they'd ever had lost any police officer, let alone 2 at the same time, and the people of Westerville have rallied to this.
And what was that about? Was that a domestic?
Well, what happened was what happened was apparently it was a domestic situation. The Westerville 911 people had called in. It was a hang up, and so the police were directed to these two police were directed to the apartment, I believe it was. And apparently, as they entered, the gentleman who was not supposed to have a gun because he'd been a convicted felon.
Right.
He's prohibited from opened fire on him. One was killed instantly. An officer was killed instantly. The other was critically wounded. The person who was doing the shooting was actually wounded, but he just got out of the hospital. It was Sunday, and I believe sometime today he's going to be in court, Franklin County Police Court, be arraigned. But the other officer also didn't pass away about an hour or so after the incident. And it's, you know, just a very, very tragic situation.
Yes, it is. Very tragic.
And of course, that has renewed this whole thing about guns and the whole gun issue. Students at this high school and many people around the country are just that enough is enough. I mean, and so they're apparently today they're taking buses to Tallahassee, the Florida State Capitol. Some had a lay out or lie out, whatever, and outside the White House.
Right.
Some are calling with the blood money of the NRA and all. And so we're back to this issue again. And I think this one, these people apparently are not going to back down. So we'll have to see how all this plays out over the next days and weeks ahead. Members of legislature, and even the governor of the state, are facing some real tough questions on this. And all the issues that come up with this are, you know, so. That's been one thing. And, of course, the other thing involves the continued Russia investigation by Robert Mueller and his federal grand jury in D.C. of the Trump administration and involvement with the Russian involvement in trying to interfere with our 2016 presidential election. And as you may well be aware, last Friday, 13 Russians and 3 Russian companies were indicted by the grand jury. Again, will these people ever come to trial? Likely not, because I doubt if Russia is going to extradite these people. Now, the only thing is, these individuals will never be able to leave Russia, because if they should go to another country for a visit or whatever, business, something, and somebody found out about it, that say France or Germany or whatever,
they could
hold them, and then U.S. could require that they be extradited.
Now you're talking about the people.
So they're going to be kind of, you know, they'll never be able to leave Russia, as it says, maybe not. So we'll see how that works out.
Okay.
And we're going to. My guess is, and you know, we've already had some indictments and so forth earlier things. Michael Flynn, the former National Security Advisor, Paul Manafort, who was Mr. Trump's campaign manager for a time, so forth. It would not surprise me the next 3 to 6 weeks between now, maybe towards a little longer than I would have thought, but maybe towards the middle end of March. I think we're going to see some further indictments, and we'll see how this plays out. Mr. Mueller keeps things very close to the vest.
Yes, he does.
And all this ever about trying to fire him, that ain't going to happen, isn't going to happen.
Wow.
So he is continuing his investigation, and we'll see how that pans out. So those have been some of the issues out there. Of course, he has a budget now that's been presented. The Trump administration or somebody in Congress presented a thing about having food packages instead of a food stamp program, which is
working. Yeah, that's not going over too well, is it, with the citizens?
That has not worked well. State of Pennsylvania, they basically throughout the state's Pennsylvania Supreme Court, throughout the congressional district map, and apparently it was based on Pennsylvania state law, which prevents it from going into federal court. And now the Pennsylvania Supreme Court came up with a new map as of yesterday that is going to redo how members have run for U.S. House seats in Pennsylvania. The other thing that's happened is in the last year since the Trump administration took office, there have been a number of special elections for states. A lot of states have special elections to elect state legislators in their legislature. Democrats have flipped 37 Republican seats in the last year. Now, I think that also includes the 15 seats they flipped in Virginia during their election last November. Flipped the New Jersey governorship, flipped the Alabama Senate seat back in December, Doug Jones' victory. And so I think that today there are some elections around the country, so special elections.
But Democrats have been gaining some of those seats, haven't
they? Well,
they
have flipped 37 seats, many in Republican districts. This last week in Florida, they flipped a Republican House seat of a gentleman whose father is a Republican congressman in the area, lost to the Democratic candidate, and both parties spent some huge amounts of money in that race.
But they lost a lot of seats, too, when President Obama was in office, right?
Well, that's true. And so Democrats are trying to regain some
Some momentum, yes, definitely.
And so, again, we'll see how all this plays out as the weeks and months unfold. So,
well, I hope the voices of the young people will be heard. And I know they're going through great lengths, you know, to try to get people to hear them.
They have been receiving a lot of attention because they know how to do the modern social media thing and all that.
Yeah, they do.
A lot. And that's having an impact, I think. So.
And it should have an impact. It's about them and their lives. Yeah. You know how many school shootings we've had this year?
I know. It's just incredible. The whole idea of shootings and whatever. I mean,
yes.
It's, you know, I know some people say, well, if the Congress didn't act after the 20 little children that were killed in Sandy Hook, Connecticut, or Sandy Hook Elementary, Newtown, Connecticut, back in 2012.
Yeah, I remember that. That was so sad, that happened.
That
yes,
was
too sad.
President Obama was in office, and they showed a picture of him. He said that was the worst day of his presidency.
Yes, he cried. Tears.
And it was just, it was incredible, yeah. And so.
But it wasn't enough to move the hand to at least, and Gifford.
Yes, I mean, Gabby Gifford, the congressman who was wounded. Congressman
right.
Steve Scalise,
right,
the Republican
right,
congressman
right.
last summer was wounded in the shooting in Virginia. So, I mean, you know, this happens in no other country. I mean,
Only in America, right?
Only in the United States we have this issue. And frankly, since this administration took office, the amount of people who want to come to the U.S. for tourist industry, U.S. tourist industry, they're seeing a big decline.
Oh, really?
The number of foreign tourists who don't want to come to the U.S. anymore. And they don't know if they're safe or whatever. And you have the immigration issue, which is out there. They tried
yes.
to, last week that didn't fly. I mean, you have cases of prisoners who were brought here as small children.
Mm-hmm.
And they've no one known this country. They've had very successful careers and trying to deport them. And it just, you know, the whole thing is just out of control. And so there are a number of issues out there. We do have a special election coming up in Pennsylvania on March 13th, 3 weeks from today, in fact.
Okay.
An election. And Democrats are making a real effort to take that, could possibly flip another Republican House seat. There have been four congressional elections that have happened last year. Democrats didn't flip any of their seats, but they came extremely close, cut down. I mean, they're districts that Democrats shouldn't have even been competitive in. And so we'll see what happens with this one.
Right.
Even if they don't necessarily take it, it's clear now it's going to be very close.
Right.
And
right.
that in itself, and because there are other districts that could flip that are not as Republican as these districts are.
True.
So if these districts are flipping,
hope some more flips, you know, because, you know, absolute power is too much power.
Yeah. Well, as it was Lord
party.
Acton.
Any party, you know.
Lord Acton, who was a political philosopher in Great Britain back in the 16th, 17th century, said, power corrupts and absolute power tends to corrupt absolutely.
Yes.
And so.
We see that.
I think what the Republican Party in Ohio is facing, people are saying it's time to end the one party control of the state. And that raises some significant
challenges. That's too much
challenges.
Power. Yes, that's too much power.
You need to have a checks and balances system.
Yes.
And that's,
yes.
I think that's going to be a major factor. Plus, the Democratic enthusiasm for voting is just up tremendously as opposed to
right.
on the other side. So, we'll I'm sure there'll be much happening over the next weeks and months ahead. And,
well, there's never a dull moment, that's for sure.
And actually, and I'll tell you, I will give credit to Scott Spears.
Mm-hmm.
When he had the interview with Mary Taylor here a few weeks ago, and she indicated that she would not support Mr. DeWine if she won the Republican nomination, that made statewide news. I mean, it was being quoted statewide
that
she would not support him because he felt he was just kind of, you know,
DeWine.
Part of the old system and so forth. And
that's
so,
true. He is.
We'll see what happens there. I mean,
wow.
And how that works out. And she could give him some, I mean, even if she doesn't necessarily win the nomination, if she wins like 40-45% of the vote, that's going to send a big signal that, because that's what happened to him back in 06 when he was running for re-election to the U.S. Senate.
Right.
And Sherrod Brown was challenging him. He got renominated, but something like about 30-35% of the Republican voters voted for a couple of candidates who were totally unknown. I mean, they had absolutely nothing. But they simply were not so much voting for them. They were voting against Mike DeWine.
Mm-hmm.
And that sort of sent an indication what was going to happen. And sure enough, that November he got swept out of office, and which was a Democratic year, and Sherrod Brown won the Senate seat. So,
yeah, something's got to change, and I'm glad it's changing. I wish it was a little faster, you know, yeah. So we can have that shift in power, because that's, even though they blame the Democrat Party for what doesn't go right or anything that goes wrong.
In this case, the Republicans, I mean, because they're the ones who are in the control of the government and so forth.
So how can you blame other people that you have control over, you know? It's not fair. It's just not fair to our system, our democracy. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, our democracy is at stake. And how do you feel about that?
Well, there are some real questions about some of the things that this current president, this administration have done. As I say, one about the election in 2016 and some of the activities that may have been involved with Russia or whoever. And I think there's going to be a day of reckoning coming, and some is already happening, and I think more is going to happen as we see the next few weeks unfold here. So, deadline for voter registration in the May primary will be here sometime in early April. Let's see if I can maybe get a time here when the deadline for voter registration will be. Let's see, the primary will be on May 8th, so I believe May 9th, I believe, maybe the, or excuse me, not May 9th, April 9th, I believe, will be the deadline for voter registration. I might, some might want to check on that, but usually it's 30 days prior to the election.
So. So they can also call.
Well, certainly I'll call, I know in the high school, a lot of high school government classes, probably about this time they're registering those seniors who are going to be 18.
Right.
For this year. I know that's what I did when I was teaching government at Marion Harding, and I'm assuming they still do that in the high schools and so forth. And some of these young people in Florida, I mean, these people are now, many of them are probably now registered voters, or will be registered voters, and unlike the poor little kids at Sandy Hook, who were just young, 5-6 years old. Mm-hmm. These are young adults, and they
that's true. And they can speak up for themselves.
They are very articulate. And
right.
Some have been on national television these last several days, and so.
And it, you know, like you said, only in America do we have the right to bear arms against one another. You know, and that's not really.
Here's what the Second Amendment says. It says, in case of a well-regulated militia. And I think the framers of the Constitution, I'm reading a book right now about James Madison, who is considered to be the father of the Constitution. And actually, I just finished another book, which was about Madison and James Monroe. And they were back-to-back presidents in the early 19th century. I don't think they ever had any imagination of how the Second Amendment would be, in fact, I don't know, twisted, if you will. I mean, there have been court rulings, whatever. And I think in some ways, some of the people who are talking about Second Amendment, does it really take an AR-15, a semi-automatic weapon? I mean, that to me is just ridiculous. I'm sorry.
And the hands, you know, it's able to get in the hands of people that it should not be in the hands of.
Yeah, well,
okay, keep your right. You know, we're not trying to erase that you have the right to bear arms, but people who should not have guns just should not have guns.
I mean,
you know?
This young man, clearly should never.
No, just like the access. The young guy, Sandy Hook.
Yeah.
Shot his mom and all that. She was taking him target practice and all that, you know.
Murdered his mother before he went to school and carried out that atrocity.
That's just like teaching a child how to smoke or how to drink. And then they'll say, well, you know, guns don't kill people. Yes, they do. If a hand is behind the trigger. Yes, they do. So, you know, so hopefully, you know, we can get a perspective on that. You know, background checks.
I would think that would be at least
limiting some of that ammunition.
And actually, there had been an Obama-era regulation dealing with the matter of people with mental illnesses that Mr. Trump reversed last year.
Why would
that do that? That makes no sense to me.
No.
Absolutely no sense to me.
No, and not to the parents and those students in Florida, you know. Yeah. And they said that this is our 18th shooting since January 2018. Mm-hmm. They've been small, but now they're escalating. So. Because people think, okay, well, this is a thing to do. Now I'm upset. I'm going to get this gun. I'm going to go to the school, you know. Yeah. Anybody just tells me, no, I can't handle that.
Yeah, it's sad.
It is sad. Yeah. It's very sad. So. And to think about the food stamp, you know, that they're trying to take food stamps for people who work.
Yeah,
they work.
Many times these are people who are working, the working poor, as they call it.
The majority of those people work. Mm-hmm. Mother works, father works, children go to school.
They simply need some assistance. They just simply can't make it enough.
They need it. They need it. And it's going to be a sad day.
I don't think that plan is going to go anywhere myself. I don't think that's going to happen at all. I just don't see it happening.
The housing. They said that there was something against the metropolitan housing where people, there you go again, people who work need help, you know. And so we just really lift our prayers that some of these things will not make a headway on our citizens who are really, really struggling and trying to have a successful life, some type of living, you know, standards, you know. Yeah. Enough is enough, like those students are saying. But, Tim, thank you so much for being my guest today. And hopefully those of you who have been listening have enjoyed some of the things that Tim has shared with us locally and nationally. And thank you once again for listening to The Chat with Linda Sims here on WWGH. Next time, be blessed. Thank you.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP Marion, Ohio. The place for guests like Dean of the White House Press Corps, Helen Thomas.
Helen, how do you deal with criticism? Because certainly 10 presidents, you've had your share of criticism. How do you deal with that?
Well, in the first place, you look at it and you see whether it's valid or not. And then you consider the source.
And then just
I just made up that answer.